Well, good morning. Isn't this a wonderful morning? A wonderful reason to celebrate. Shaw Presbyterian. Well, I bring greetings from Covenant Presbyterian in Manurewa. And we want you to know that down there, we're thinking about you this morning and we're praying for you. And we know what's happening here and we're very excited about it. And we've been praying regularly for you for the last year or so that you've been up here, and we want you to know that we still regard you as a part of us. This is part of our ministry on the North Shore, and we're delighted at what God is doing here with you and among you. And so you are not alone. We stand with you. We pray for you. We are concerned for you. We love you, and we are together with you in this great work. And our prayer is that as the Lord Jesus Christ is upheld in this part of the city through your ministry and the ministry of many other churches in this part of the city, that many will be drawn to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm just going to bring a few thoughts to you this morning from Jonah chapter 1. And if you have your Bible there, that would be especially peachy. And the reason Jonah chapter 1 is because the Lord used Jonah in a very surprising and unexpected way. And I guess coming up here and starting a church up here in Torbay is kind of like you're asking the Lord to use you in a surprising and unexpected way. Perhaps a bit the way he used Jonah. Or maybe not. Well, Jonah was a man on the run. Jonah was a man desperate to get away from God. Now, that's not necessarily why you came here. But Jonah, you see, was trying to escape God's call on his life. Jonah believed in God. You see that in verse 9. He had a very powerful and consistent testimony that he was committed to the God of Israel. He believed that God of Israel was the creator God. He created the heavens and the earth and sustained all things by his powerful hand. He believed that. He wasn't running away from a belief in God. He was running away from God's call on his life. He knew he believed in God, but he knew what God wanted him to do. And he had no interest in doing what God wanted him to do. So he thought to secure himself against the call of God by running away from God's call and going on a Mediterranean cruise. So if you think of the land of Israel here, the city of Nineveh is over here, and Tarshish, which is probably modern-day Spain, was over here. And so he went in directly opposite direction from where God wanted him to go. And he found a boat, and he paid his fare. He was a fare-paying passenger. It was a bit like a cruise, wasn't it? He wasn't part of the crew. And this little boat would take about a year to get to Tarshish. It would jump around the ports along the coastline, trading. It would find somewhere to winter over, and it would take them about a year to get there. So Jonah found the means of ignoring and avoiding and escaping God's call. Jonah was running. In fact, it says that twice in verse 3 and again in verse 10, that Jonah was fleeing from the Lord or running from the presence of God. Now, he chose to do it by finding a boat. We choose many other ways of avoiding God's call. Often we're not even moving from our current situation. But in our hearts, you see, we turn away from God's call on our life because it's too difficult, it's too uncomfortable, maybe it costs too much. But Jonah was going to discover that he could not outrun God, that God's call would stay with him wherever he went. So Jonah got on the boat, he paid his fare, and he basically said to the captain, "Wake me when we get there. I'm going down to sleep." Wake me when we get there. Well, this was a cruise of a lifetime for Jonah, and he thought he had secured himself against the call of God. In fact, so confident was he that he fell into a deep sleep. At last, I've got away from God's call on my life. Now I can just get on with doing and living my life how I want to live it. Well, has Jonah really secured himself against the call of God? Well, no, he hasn't. Because God's going to do a surprising thing. See, God had a congregation over here in Nineveh for Jonah. And Jonah ran away from that congregation. Mondays is always the day you feel like running away from the congregation. Jonah ran away from the congregation in Nineveh, and he ran this way, and he ran slap back into another congregation that God had waiting for him. He ran straight into the arms of God. He ran straight into the call of God. He ran straight into the congregation on that boat that God had planned for Jonah to bring the testimony of the God of Israel. Jonah flees one call only to encounter another. Now, the way the story is set up, you see, Jonah thought of God as living in the land of Israel, and that if he left the land of Israel, he could leave God behind. That's what Jonah was thinking. So we can ask ourselves the question, was God already on the boat before Jonah got there? Was God on the boat before Jonah arrived at Joppa? Well, yes. God was there waiting for him. God was on the boat waiting for him. God welcomed Jonah onto the boat. Jonah, I've been expecting you. Come on board. Join me in this wonderful task I've got for these sailors and for this crew. God is everywhere present with his call on our lives. So as you come up here to Torbay, was God already here before you got here? Was God waiting for you? Well, he was. God was in this neighborhood. He was in the schools. He was in your place of work, wherever you are. And he was welcoming you as you came up here to Torbay. He was saying, welcome. Come and join me in the work that I've got to do up here in the lives of many people. Well, in verse 5, we see that the sailors cried out to their own gods. And then in verse 16, they all cried out to Jonah's God. Between verse 5 and verse 16, they went from crying out to their own gods to crying out to Jonah's God, the God of Israel. Now, what accounts for that change in their hearts? What accounts for that? Well, the difference came about because of Jonah, but not in the way that Jonah had expected. It came in a surprising and unexpected way. You see, God was determined to use this runaway. God was determined to use this man who thought he could outrun God's call on his life. God is going to use this church here in Torbay in spectacular and surprising ways. He's going to use you in ways that you don't expect. He's going to use you in ways that's going to require from you, just like it requires from us in Manurewa, he's going to require of us everything. The surrender of our life to the task, to the call, to the life of Jesus Christ lived in us and through us to those around us. While Jonah was sleeping, God was working out his purposes. While Jonah was sleeping, God was preparing the hearts of that crew for when Jonah would be woken up. While he was sleeping, God sent a storm. You see that at the very first word in verse 4, then God sent a great wind. And the then there, that first word indicates that he sent the storm because Jonah was sleeping. He sent the storm because Jonah was on the boat heading away from Nineveh. He sent the storm to pursue Jonah Indeed, in the book of Jonah, God sends a great wind, he sends a great fish, he sends a green vine, he sends a hungry worm, he sends a dry east wind, and he sends a spirit of repentance to Gentile pagans wherever they are found. There is no God like Jehovah. He controls all things and sustains all things, and all things serve his will to further his purposes in the hearts of people. Notice that amazing statement in verse 6 by this captain. He comes down to wake Jonah up. And he says, maybe your God will have mercy on us. See that in verse 6? How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish. Would there be grace? Would there be grace from Jonah's God? Jonah, maybe your God will notice us. You certainly don't, Jonah. You don't care about us, but maybe your God does. Jonah, you're not concerned if we perish, but maybe your God is concerned. Wake up, Jonah, and call on your God. Maybe your God will notice us. You see what's happening? God is already preparing the mission field. God is already preparing the hearts of those sailors. And Jonah was asleep, and God was at work, and Jonah was asleep, and God was preparing the hearts. Jonah was asleep, and God had prepared these hearts because he knew that Jonah was coming, and he was going to use Jonah in a way that Jonah could not expect. While Jonah is running, God is preparing the hearts of the people that he wants Jonah to witness to. Well, when the lot falls on Jonah, Jonah knows that God is indeed after him. The God who made the sea, in verse 9, is the God who sends the wind, and he can make the sea get wilder and wilder. As Jonah confessed his beliefs in verse 9, the storm grew worse. You might find that when you confess your beliefs, the storm gets worse. When you talk to someone about Jesus Christ, the storm might get worse. You take a risk, don't you? Well, Jonah confessed his beliefs and the storm grew worse, and by now they were shouting to each other above the rain. By now, Jonah knew that God was after him. Jonah knew this boat was going to sink. And Jonah knew that these sailors were going to drown. Jonah now knew that God, who had made the sea, could stop the storm. Now Jonah knew he could not outrun God. Now he was ready to be a true prophet and suffer for the sake of his message, suffer for the sake of his calling, and suffer for the sake of this crew. So in verse 12, he says to them, throw me overboard and the storm will cease. Throw me overboard and the storm will cease. How did Jonah know the storm was going to cease? Throw me overboard and the storm will cease. That was the word of a prophet. But what Jonah did not know was that there was a fish waiting for him. Jonah did not know that there was a fish waiting for him. For Jonah to say, throw me overboard, for Jonah this was drowning. He was prepared to sacrifice his life for their deliverance. God now had Jonah's heart. Only God can change hearts, and Jonah had gone from being a runaway believer in God to being a throw-me-overboard believer in God. For Jonah, this was drowning. For the sailors, this was drowning. No question in their minds. They knew nothing about the great fish. They did not want to throw him overboard because they knew Jonah would die. But eventually they did, and just as Jonah had prophesied, the storm stopped. So verse 16, now God had their attention. Verse 16, when they saw that the storm had grown calm, just as Jonah had prophesied, they worshipped, and from their heart they offered vows to God. God had their attention, he had their worship, and he had their hearts. And the way he did it was by Jonah going overboard. In verse 14, the sailors acknowledged that God will do whatever he pleases. And what does it please God to do? Well, in this occasion, what it pleased God to do was for Jonah to die that the sailors might live. One dies that many might live. Does that sound familiar? Where have you heard that before? Where one dies that many might live. Isn't that always the way of God? Isn't that always the way God, in unexpected and surprising ways, acts in our lives, that one should die so that many can live? And indeed, you see, a greater than Jonah has died. Jesus answered the call. Jesus did not run away. Jesus died, and now we live. So you see, Jonah is a foreshadowing of a greater prophet, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, to save us from the drowning in our sin and its judgment. Though you see, friends, a greater than Jonah is here this morning, walking among his people gathered, to show us mercy and grace by means of his gospel, urging us also to die that others might live. What is God's call on your life? Perhaps a call that you've been avoiding for many, many years. Well, God's call on your life begins with the gospel call. It begins with a call of repentance, a call of acknowledging your sinfulness, your personal sinfulness and your corporate sinfulness, and seeking and asking Christ to forgive you on the basis of his shed blood. And then you follow his call in your neighborhood, in your school, in your place of work. Does your neighborhood need a runaway? Does your neighborhood need a runaway? Are you willing to die for whatever is holding you back from following God's call? Are you a runaway Christian or a throw me overboard Christian? There's no boat of escape from the call of God, not even a Mediterranean cruise. You cannot outrun God's call. A life given over to the life of Christ, a giving over of our life and of all our relationships. It begins with repentance as you begin each day offering up your life again to God as a living sacrifice, seeking his blood to cleanse us from our sin every day, so that every day we can live in the light of his grace and then begin to offer that grace to those around us. And as we seek to go overboard, as we pray to the Lord, Lord, make me an overboard Christian and not a runaway Christian, remember, there will always be a fish. God will not let you drown. There will always be a fish. He will hold on to you. He will preserve you to the end. So, my friends, as we contemplate God's wonderful purposes up here in this part of our wonderful city, we can say that God has gone ahead of you to prepare the hearts of many in this neighborhood, in your places of work, in your places of study. And now he calls you to follow him and become part of his great work in saving many from the drowning of death and judgment. Salvation is of the Lord, right here in Torbay, and he is going to use each one of you in surprising and unexpected ways, because he loves us, and he wants many more to follow him. Amen.